from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, July 16th. Coming up, protests last summer fueled a debate over police in schools. In many cities, the conversation about school resource officers, or SROs, continues. We'll learn more in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois will become the first state in the nation to ban police from lying to suspects under 18 during interrogation under a measure signed into law by Governor J.B. Pritzker. Hannah Meisel reports.
Courts have long allowed police to use deceptive tactics to force a suspect's confession. Those practices can range from implying police have more evidence than they do to outright lying. But when it takes effect in January, Illinois' new law will make confessions elicited from minors using deceptive tactics inadmissible in court in most cases. Terrell Swift, who spent nearly 15 years in prison after falsely confessing to a 1994 rape and murder, says he advocated for the law to prevent more cases like his.
This bill, I truly believe, could have saved my life.
Deceptive interrogation practices are banned for both minors and adults in places like the United Kingdom, but law enforcement in the U.S. are widely trained on the techniques. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Researchers at Southern Illinois University are studying the causes of burnout in the nursing profession. Kelly Whittington, director of the nursing program, says the results of the nationwide survey identified a sense of control over the workday as one major factor in how nurses feel about their jobs. She says that includes things like working within their area of expertise, as well as being able to determine how to best care for patients.
Which patients do I see first? Which patients do I do some of those take care of first? How do I order my care?
The two other main factors in burnout were having a sense of an equitable workload and a sense of community and support at work. The survey was conducted before the COVID-19 pandemic. Whittington says the team hopes to do another survey to gauge the impact of COVID. They also hope to expand the study, examining burnout in other healthcare professionals. Some Illinoisans are getting ready to fly to Tokyo next week for the 2020 Olympics. Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin has more.
When the 2020 Olympic Games were postponed due to COVID, it came as a shock to Marion, Illinois native Daryl Sullivan.
For it to be postponed, it was very disheartening. But at the same time, I had another year to come back and get better.
That he did. Sullivan will be competing in the high jump, for which he's currently ranked third in the world. Now a graduate student at the University of Tennessee, he says he's doing his best to rest until the games start next Friday.
Read a little bit, listen to some music, and, just visualize and watch some high jump videos just to make sure I'm on point.
Sullivan made his comments on the 21st show. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
The COVID-19 Delta variant has reached Champaign County. Officials with the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District say the variant appears to be more transmissible and is, in their words, quote, impacting younger patients in a way previous variants have not, end quote. CUPHD and other healthcare partners are recommending vaccinations for those 12 and older if they've not done so already. According to the CDC, preliminary data suggests that 99.5% of COVID deaths over the past several months were in unvaccinated people. Still to come, we'll look at school resource officers in Rockford. Peter Medlin has the story on how the pandemic has affected policing in schools. That's next on 217 Today.
Healthcare has never been more important as the coronavirus pandemic continues to touch every aspect of our lives. I'm Christine Herman, health reporter for Illinois Newsroom, working to make sense of what's going on with rich storytelling and helpful analysis for listeners across the state. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Last summer, protests fueled a debate over police in schools. In many cities, the conversation about what are referred to as school resource officers, or SROs, is not over. Peter Medlin took a look at Rockford's school safety data to examine police incidents with students and how the pandemic affected them.
Since the 2014-15 school year, Rockford Public Schools referred students to law enforcement for school discipline matters 2,379 times. The number of police incidents climbed from around 300 a year up to 503 in 2018-19. Catherine Dunn with the Racial Justice Organization Advancement Project says that number doesn't paint the whole picture.
What we know, likely extremely underrepresentative of students' interactions with school police.
Schools are required to log incidents, but since officers are often on site or requested through school radios, not every interaction is filed. And RPS's student population is 31% Black, but nearly half of police incidents involved Black students. Police incidents in Rockford schools dropped significantly during COVID-19 as fewer students were in the buildings and interactions were limited. Dunn says that holds true with national data.
There were some districts that employed SROs in interesting ways during the pandemic, I think including doing like house checks during virtual learning. But I think overall, students' interactions with police definitely, you know, declined.
Rockford Public Schools employs 10 SROs led by Sergeant Timothy Speltz. He says the pandemic had a major impact on what school resource officers could do.
We reduced the staffing from the 9 officers to the 6, so each officer had to cover multiple schools just because of the reduced amount of students in each school.
Speltz says they're in schools to build relationships with students so they feel comfortable coming to officers if there's a serious issue. That didn't really happen during COVID because they had limited access to students.
We take the approach, it's called the triad. We act as a mentor, a counselor slash classroom presenter, and then the law enforcement arm. The majority of our interactions are as counseling.
Many calling for SROs to be removed say they aren't qualified to be counselors. Officers complete a week-long certification before starting, and Spelt says most training on how to be a mentor to kids happens on the job. Opponents say schools should hire more mental health support staff instead. They also say officers don't make buildings safer either. Research is inconclusive as to whether they can help prevent mass shootings, but SRO organizations point to specific examples, like at Dixon High School, where an officer was able to apprehend a student who opened fire in the building. One study also showed a link between more police and lower graduation rates. Unlike many districts, Spelt says his division has actually shrunk since he started.
When I came into the unit, we had 12, and then maybe 2 years later, they reduced it to 9 SROs.
Back in 1975, 1% of schools had officers. In 2018, around 58% had a police presence. The number of SROs has continued to increase over the past several years, and that's come with a rise in law enforcement referrals and student arrests, according to the most recent federal civil rights data collection. But there's been a slight decrease in exclusionary discipline like expulsion and suspensions.
Referrals actually increased, I think, as much as 12%. So a pretty significant jump, which indicates, I think, that as we are less inclined to use things like suspension and expulsion, we are doing things like referring students to law enforcement in place of that.
Out-of-school suspension numbers have fallen in Illinois, but schools like East High School in Rockford still rank in the top 3 statewide. In-school suspensions have risen, with Auburn High School having the 2nd most in the state last year. Catherine Dunn says this year, the Biden administration doubled funding for the COPS police hiring program, which includes grants for school resource officer positions.
While the federal government doesn't make up the largest share of funding for school police, they are often kind of the seed that plants police in school districts, and then state and local governments are left to kind of pick up the bill.
The Counseling Not Criminalization Act was also recently introduced in Congress, which would end the federal government's financial support of school police. Whether or not it passes, the conversation around the role of school police and how they interact with students won't be going away anytime soon. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have mostly cloudy skies today with showers and thunderstorms likely and a high of 78 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Carolina Garibay. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Steph Whiteside, Dana Cronin, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.